Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, let's get to the Phillies. 95 wins a year ago. I mentioned at the top, won the division for the first time in a while. Atlanta's kind of had a death grip on that division. You mentioned the Mets, and we'll get to them in a minute. They made a lot of moves this offseason. Cohen kind of taking finances to another level in New York. Oh, yeah. But let's talk about the Phillies. A year ago, that starting rotation was really good. Wheeler and Nola have been the consummates. They've been there at the top of that rotation for years now. And we know about the lineup. But let's take you got Romano in the bullpen from the Blue Jays and Luzardo, starting pitcher. Talk about that rotation and that bullpen and what you see coming in 2025.
Well, it was pretty clear that Taijuan Walker was not the same Taijuan Walker that they signed. Coming from the Mets. And so he has been struggling. And I think, you know, I've always been a pitching guy, pitching first, pitching, because you put yourself in a position to win every day, especially starting pitching, if you have quality starting pitching throughout. And I think the Phillies did a really nice job of picking up Luzardo. I think that he is sort of the perfect fit for them. I don't view him as a number five starter when he's right and healthy. He's probably like a two or three. And so you're looking at a bunch of two or threes and a really good quality one in Wheeler. Yeah. And then after that, you're looking at some really good arms. And Christopher Sanchez have come a long way. Ranger Suarez, when he's healthy, was, you know, first 2 months of the season last year, was the best pitcher in baseball. But you add Luzardo to the mix here and you sort of push Taijuan Walker to a long role and or, you know, spot starter type situation. I think you created some depth. They also signed Joe Ross to add to some of that depth in case they have a breakdown. I think that starting pitching depth has always sort of been a little bit of a question mark over the last couple of years for the Phillies. It's been a little bit of a weakness, but I think they've shored that up, particularly with a guy like Luzardo, just because if he stays healthy, he's a guy that has the guts and has the moxie and has you know, the type of attitude that's necessary. He loves pitching in Citizens Bank Park. I've seen him pitch in playoff situations there. I like this guy. He wants the baseball. He's got really good stuff and he stays on the mound and he's healthy. I mean, I view the Phillies rotation top to bottom, top two or three in all of baseball.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
I think it puts him in a really, you know, there's an argument that they could be number one if, you know, start taking into account some of the issues the Dodgers have had health-wise in their rotation over the years and the level of inconsistency as far as picking up the innings. I know they have a great rotation. I know they got great arms. They've got, you know, all-stars throughout. But, you know, those guys don't log the innings that some of the guys, I think, in the rotation with the Phillies can log. That said, you got to play it on the field. But I really like their rotation. As far as Romano, I think he was a great sign. They did lose Hoffman, who had an extraordinary season, goes off to Toronto, and Estevez, who they picked up in the middle of the year last year. They lost both those guys and picked up Romano. I really like Romano. Again, another guy who likes the spotlight, likes to pitch in the ninth when he's healthy. I don't know that he'll necessarily be their closer because Rob Thompson likes to sort of mix and match. But you start putting that combination together with Strom, who had a great year. He's a little banged up right now. I think he's going to start the season perhaps on the IL, but he'll be ready pretty soon. He's been backed off a little bit with some shoulder issues, but he had a ridiculous year last year. I think Orion Kirkgren's got a chance to be a closer at some point. His stuff is nasty, and he's got guts. He wants the baseball late in the game, and I think he's going to get pushed further and further back in high leverage situations. And Alvarado, he's had a resurgence. He came into camp knowing that he didn't have a great year last year, put himself in unbelievable shape. He's throwing 100 and 101 miles an hour right now, right, almost right out of the chute. Nasty cutter. A couple of years ago, he was the best left-hander out of the pen in baseball. Lost a little confidence last year, was not as healthy, came in great shape. you know, a lot of things have to work for that bullpen. I think that's one of their sort of weak links, and they're hopeful that everybody sort of bounces back. But you know how volatile those bullpens are. So one year they're great. Next year they're so-so. Next year, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. But they certainly have the power and the arms to be able to get it done. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to be healthy and confident and be able to get it done on a consistent basis. But, I mean, I like this ball club. I still think it's one of the top four or five ball clubs in all baseball. And I think they're pretty poised to defend that National League East. But, you know, the Mets and the Atlanta Braves, man, you cannot rule them out. Just can't.
And those good divisions, as in years past, it's different now with a more balanced schedule. So they're not the really good divisions. You don't have to beat up on each other all year.
Right.
You talk about the health in today's game and the innings that are logged by these pitchers. It's different. It's different than in years past, where now I even heard Dodgers about going to a 6-man rotation, and you've got they've got at least 4 number ones in that rotation, if healthy. Yep. With the Glass now, a Snell, Yamamoto, who knows what this Sasaki kid's going to be like. I've seen tape of him all at, right. Is the only thing I've seen, but he's long and lanky. He's got those limbs. He looks like a kind of a DeGrom to me, which is scary. And then Otani, that scrub in the 5-hole, if he eventually comes back.
He stinks.
Yeah. And then you got Kershaw. I laugh because, you know, Kershaw's 37. He's obviously not in his prime, but I know the great pitchers, the all-time great pitchers, like a Greg Maddux. Even when Greg was 40 years old and I had to face him, he wasn't that Greg Maddux that he was when he was 30, but he was still Greg Maddux, and he was good enough to be a number 3 on any starting rotation. You look at that Dodger rotation, not getting ahead of myself. You look at that Dodger rotation. If everybody's healthy, Kershaw's like the 7th starter.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is ridiculous. One of the all-time greats in the history of baseball. Go to that. I look at the offensive side of the ball. Great offense. One of the most formidable offenses in either league. There's a lot of talk about Bohm, the third baseman. Is he going to get moved? They ended up standing pat, and he's going to be back. The cohesiveness, it seems like, and kind of Harper's the focal point. He's the guy in the cover of the media guide, and kind of seems like he runs a ship. But it seems that's a pretty good group of guys that really get along. Kind of remind me of that, not from a personality perspective, but how they get along, the Astros recent teams and the big run they've had. They just kind of seem like they're all talking to each other, and it's a real cohesive unit. Like I said, not necessarily personality wise are they like the Astros, but it seems like it's a pretty good group, and it seems like Harper's kind of the heartbeat of that lineup. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, I think one of the things that and a lot of people were, you know, a lot of Philadelphia fans were like upset that more moves weren't made. You know, there was a lot of talk about whether Bohm was going to get moved and whether they had to shake up the lineup. And the reality of it is, this is a really good, talented offense.
Yeah.
And it's just really a matter of, you know, guys getting better. Like the younger guys, the Bryson Stotts, who I think had an off year because he had an elbow problem. I think that they diagnosed that. No one really knew about it. He was not able to, like, swing the bat like he typically would. So he regressed a little bit last year, numbers wise. I think this guy, I said this 2 years ago. I think at some point he's going to have a chance to be, you know, make a run at a batting title, just because I think he handles the strike zone well. He understands and feels comfortable hitting with two strikes. He had an off year last year. I think he's going to be much better. Alec Bohm finished off the year. You know, it was not a great finish to the season. He ended up getting benched during the course of the playoffs and such. And, there's some question about, you know, his attitude and that kind of stuff. Well, he came into camp, and I've talked to all the coaches. I've seen him, I've chatted with him a little bit. He's doing great. He's had a great spring. His attitude's excellent. I mean, you could, you know, if you're a young, semi-young player and you know, all you hear off season is you're going to get moved, you're going to get traded, you're going to get traded, it could make you a little bitter. It could make you a little different. Well, he came into camp. He was great. And I just think, just overall, with Harper and even a guy like Schwarber, who's sort of the another guy, like a glue guy for the organization, mm-hmm. those guys sort of keep a very steady, positive clubhouse. And I think they genuinely like each other. Not every clubhouse is like that. I think these guys genuinely like each other. enjoy playing with each other. And I also think that they're pretty bitter about the fact that they didn't get further along. I think they feel like, you know, they dropped the ball a couple of times and they've got some things to prove. And so I think they're being a little bit more quiet about it this year. I know last year they had sort of the chip on their shoulder and wanted to get out to a good start, and they did. I think they're being very quiet about it, very businesslike about it, not talking about it, just, you know, going about their business in a professional manner. And I truly believe that at the end of the day, if they, you know, they're definitely a contending team. It's really just a matter of whether or not they're hot and they're playing good baseball when it's time to do that in October.
I think the last 2 years in the playoffs, you know, first with that Diamondback team in 23, I mean, there's not a person on earth that with that atmosphere in Philadelphia at that stadium during that series with the Diamondbacks that would say, yeah, the Diamondbacks have a chance. That was one of the most remarkable things, that comeback that the Diamondbacks made, ended up advancing in the World Series. Last year, they got beat by, I think, the Mets just got caught lightning in a bottle. They got hot at the right time. And the Mets were the inferior team a year ago to the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Mets took care of business and took care of the Phillies a year ago. So you're right. Back-to-back, they got kind of hit by that, man, they got hot at the right time team in the Diamondbacks and the Mets.